Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got two on the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
What a kick on punt. Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. With you for the next 60 minutes, she's Anita Marks. I'm Lance Meadow. Good to be with you. We will break down a number of different storylines regarding the team, and the Giants have a new addition on the defensive line as they signed Kenrick Ellis, who was with the Jets for the last 4 years, so we'll get into that. They also re-signed tight end Daniel Fells, who had a career-high 4 touchdown receptions last season. He and Larry Donnell combined for 10 touchdowns, so we will also get into the depth chart at the tight end position. Your phone calls at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, and if you can't get to the phones, you can chime in via Twitter using hashtag Giants Chat, and we will be getting to your phone calls and your tweets momentarily. But Anita, let's start with the big storyline surrounding the Giants, and they did add a new free agent, Kenrick Ellis.
Woo-hoo!
And he will be a welcomed addition to a rotation at the defensive tackle spot. He's a veteran guy, and he comes over from one of the best run defenses in the NFL. The Jets were fifth against the run in terms of rushing yards and sixth in terms of yards per carry.
Yes, 6'4", 346,
big
guy, obviously. He's only 27 years old. Now, keep in mind, not a lot of starts with that defensive line with the Jets, but when he came in, obviously the Giants must have liked what they saw. Got a little insight on him. Big, powerful run stopper. Apparently, throughout his tenure with the Jets, he improved his ability to push the pocket against the pass, better against the run, which obviously the Giants are going to need this season, especially going up against the Eagles and their plethora of running backs in 2015. The only negative, the only knock on him is that his weight is an issue. He needs to stay healthy and he needs to stay slim throughout the season, because when he does not, he does develop some kind of back issue. But other than that, Giants have to be thrilled, and Giants fans, hopefully Giants fans are happy. Obviously, as we know, the Giants didn't make a big splash like a lot of the other teams, like the Eagles, like the Jacksonville Jaguars, like a lot of teams. But again, this is something that, I know this is my first opportunity to host the show since free agency. And that is, there's a lot of teams out there that had a ton of salary cap space, and you knew they were going to be the heavy hitters in regard to free agency. And the Giants are really doing the best with what they've got and what they're able to work with right now.
Well, complementary pieces are important to build the strength of your team. You look at a Robert Ayers, who was brought over from last season before he tore his pectoral muscle. He was a very solid addition to that pass rush. And Ellis, you would assume, is going to be in the mix with the Jonathan Hankins of the world, the Cullen Jenkins of the world, and you alluded to the fact that he is a big body. He is a physical presence. And, Anita, when you look at the Giants' numbers last season, we're talking about a team that was 30th against the run, dead last in terms of yardage per carry. This fills a void for this team, and he could step in and make a huge impact.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to like what you saw with Hankins. I know there was reports out there that the Giants were interested in Dan Williams. That was not the guy that they got. So let's see what Ellis can do for this defense. And as I said, I mean, kind of look at the Giants' schedule this year and the teams that they're going to have to go up against and the running backs that they're going to have to go up against. And like I said, I mean, twice in the season, maybe three times if the Giants and the Eagles make it to the postseason, they're going to have to go up against that Eagles backfield that they've improved.
They got a three-headed monster in the backfield now with Murray, Matthews, and Sproles.
And who knows what happens with the Dallas Cowboys? I mean, right now it's DeMarco Murray, but, it's Darren McFadden.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to last. I mean, ever since I was in Arizona for the Super Bowl, the big talk in that desert was the possibility that Adrian Peterson might somehow, some way, end up on that Cowboys roster. My goodness, if that happens without offensive line. So absolutely, the middle of the defensive line for the Giants has to be a priority, and obviously they're addressing it now in free agency, and I'm sure they'll address it in the draft.
Alfred Morris, the Washington Redskins running back, and the Giants are going to get the AFC East, and LeSean McCoy is now a member of the AFC East, so they're going to be familiar with what they're going to have to go up against in terms of Buffalo. The Dolphins have a few running backs. We know the Patriots like to rotate their backs. Each and every season, season, regardless of who's on the schedule, Anita, stopping the run is an important facet. And the years that the Giants have been successful, even going back to Spags' initial stint here, they were a top 10 defense against the run in his 2 years the first time around. So that is an important staple of this defense. And you can see the Giants are addressing that. And if you can get penetration and stop the run from the inside, that's only going to help the edge rushers, guys like JPP and company.
All right. So I know you and I discussed this prior to the show, and we wanted, I guess we can make it a show question, right?
Absolutely.
For our listeners out there in regard to who's the one defensive lineman. I'll let you, because you came up with the question, I'll let you phrase it. One defensive lineman that you're expecting the most from, the most improvement this coming season?
I think that's a great question. Or we could even spin it, who do you think is going to have more of an opportunity to make an impact this season? You know, Jonathan Hankins coming off a stellar sophomore campaign. Maybe this is a year Jay Bromley starts to flourish. Maybe it's Kenrick Ellis who becomes a staple of the defensive line. You have Robert Ayers, who got hurt late in the season but had a stellar start. So which defensive lineman? Could be a defensive end, could be a defensive tackle. Who are you looking forward to seeing make a huge impact this season?
Can we eliminate JPP? Let's just eliminate.
We don't need to name the obvious, I guess, is a fair statement.
Let's eliminate him. One guy that I'm really excited, I want to see him make that leap this year. And not only is it a physical leap, but I think it's a mental leap. I think it's a professional leap. I think it's a maturity leap, and that's DeMontre Moore.
Yeah.
This is the year for DeMontre Moore. I really want to see this young man explode onto the scene and really turn that corner. No pun intended, considering he plays defensive end.
Well, with Matthias Kiwanuka no longer on the team, there's an opportunity for him to get more reps, depending on what they choose to do opposite JPP. Robert Ayers will probably be in the mix for that other defensive end spot. Certainly DeMontre Moore. And the biggest discussion surrounding DeMontre Moore, Anita, throughout the short period of time that he's been with the Giants, he can turn it up a notch. He can put his foot to the pedal. He can make game-changing plays on special teams. He can get to the quarterback. The coaching staff has talked about wanting to see him be a more well-rounded player, specifically in stopping the run. And I think if he can do that, he's probably going to have more of an opportunity to be on the field as an every-down defensive lineman this season.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to, I know we've got a full bank of
calls. We do have a full bank of calls.
With the news that the Giants signed
somebody.
Giants fans out there really anxious to get on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
So without further ado, let's open up the phone lines, 201-939-4513. And also, we will be monitoring your tweets throughout the program, hashtag Giants Chat as well. To get the festivities started, we check in with Dan in Pennsylvania. Dan, welcome to the program. What do you have for us?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Pleasure to talk to you.
Pleasure to have you on. What's happening?
I think I want to agree with Anita, maybe. I was going to pick Wynn, but, I was probably a little impatient. I was hoping for DeMontre Moore to do his, to really break out last year. But maybe now, with a couple of things she pointed out, maturity and this and that, that would be great to see. He kind of reminds me of a young OCU Manure. But, that's another thing I'd love for him to turn out like OC. But I wanted to touch on, I know it's kind of not too important, but that power ranking thing. They got, I don't know what they do. I mean, it looks like they just looked at the way the standings finished last year. Who made the playoffs, who didn't? It looks like they just looked at the standings and said, okay, the 12 teams made the playoffs, they're in the top 12, and then we'll just round it out. It doesn't look like they took into consideration that, let's talk about the Giants, of course. They were just, killed with injuries. And, it makes no sense to me that happened 24th. But in a way, I love it because even when we're doing great, we never get respect from the national scene. It never seems like, our two Super Bowl runs, maybe we weren't, of course, wild cards, right? But we weren't, 12-4 or, 14-2. But it seems like, and I love it like that. Keep it nice and low-key, and we'll just do our thing,
Well, Dan, you're right. The years that the Giants have gone on Super Bowl runs, sometimes, according to the experts, the expectations were not necessarily through the roof. Personally, I don't get caught up in the rankings. I don't get caught up in terms of where teams are speculated to end up. And you also need to take into consideration, Dan, it's very early in the game. I mean, we haven't had the draft, free agency. We're only a week and a half in. A lot could change in terms of the makeup of these rosters, and that's going to change, obviously, the outlook of all 32 teams.
And do you should you really be paying attention to really power rankings right now?
It's so early. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
It's so early. You don't know what teams are going to do in the draft. And then there's always teams that start off. I mean, look, 2 years ago, folks out at Atlanta was just going to crush it, and they finished with one of the worst records in the NFL. I mean, you just and there's so much that goes into injury and what happens in the OTAs and the training camp. I mean, I don't really start paying attention to power rankings until week 3 of the regular season in the NFL.
Right.
I mean, for sports, we both host sports talk radio shows. So for sports talk radio shows, okay, it's a fun segment here and there.
You can speculate.
You can have fun with it. But to really start paying attention to power rankings, I don't even really take them seriously until at least week 3, Lance.
I would agree with you. And Dan, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. I think it's a fun type of banter conversation when people have a slow period of time in the NFL and they're looking to focus on something. But at the end of the day, all that matters is what the standings reflect. And that's certainly what the Giants are focused on. Let's head back to the phone lines. AJ is in South Carolina. AJ, what's happening?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, AJ. What do you got?
I want to talk about the Kendrick Ellis signing.
Sure.
Do you think he'll get a bigger role with the Giants?
You, in terms of his impact, you're referring to, AJ?
Yes.
Well, as we talked about off the top of the show, he is a big presence. Anita threw out his numbers, 6'4", 346. So, I mean, if that doesn't make an impact, I don't know how much bigger you need to be in the NFL to be able to clog those holes and stop the run. He was used as a run stopper during his 4 years with the Jets. Sometimes injuries limited him, and there was a lot of depth, remember, in terms of the Jets' front seven, so he didn't see nearly as much playing time as perhaps he'll have an opportunity here with the Giants. But if he stays healthy, you pair him with Jonathan Hankins, that's a nice duo to be able to stuff the middle. All right, AJ, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. And you can continue to give us a ring at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter as well. Before we get back to the phone lines, Anita, another news item that we should mention, Daniel Fells re-signed with the team. And remember, at this time last season, I brought this up earlier in the week, the tight end position was a fascinating conversation. Everybody was wondering, what are the Giants going to do with that position? There's not necessarily a big name on the roster. Larry Donnell takes advantage of his playing time, and quietly, Daniel Fells, who was out of football in 2013, also made quite an impact in terms of yardage per reception, and he wound up finding the end zone 4 times.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and you and I were hosting shows prior to last season starting. I wasn't as big on Larry Donnell as you were. The first few games of the season, he really hit the ground running, no pun intended. You know, I play a lot of fantasy football. He was one of the biggest pickups in fantasy football, and he actually delivered some numbers early on in the season, towards the end of the season, kind of fell off. You know, when you look around the league, Lance, and you look at some of, like, you know, the Jimmy Grahams who just got traded to the Seattle Seahawks, you know, like, those type of tight ends that are such big parts of offense, there's only a handful. You know, the Greg Olsons, you're looking at maybe 5-7 max, right, that really have that much of an impact in an offense. And, yeah, it's great to have those guys. But when you look around the league and you know, I don't know, where would you – in regard to the 32 teams, where would Larry Donnell fall for you? Would he fall in top 15? Would he come around 20? Where would you rank a Larry Donnell?
Are we talking based on production? Are we talking about based on the intangibles? Because, I mean, if you look at his production, I'd say he's in the top 15 based on last season.
Rank all 32 starting tight ends in the NFL, and where would you place Larry
Donnell?
I would
certainly put him in the top half of the league. Based on his production, his youth, and his upside, I'd put him in the top half.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
I mean, I'm also going based on that he's going to improve, and he'll be attempting to try to be a more balanced player in terms of his blocking. But based on production last year, I mean, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. I would guarantee you he's up there in terms of touchdowns, receiving yards, and receptions last season. I know in terms of some of the first-year starting tight ends, he was a leader in a majority of those categories.
I would like to see a little bit more improvement at the position. You know, I'm someone who I'd like to see the Giants with a top 15 tight end, a top 10 tight end in the NFL. That's just me. But nobody's blowing anybody's bells off coming out of this draft. But look what happened with Ebron last year. Ebron, the Detroit Lions drafted him in the first round. What did he do last season? Really, not much. He didn't do anything last season.
He was dealing with injuries as well.
The Funchess kid from Michigan. I'm actually a big Michigan fan. I watch a lot of Michigan football during the season. I'm thrilled with him, but now there's, you know, you just don't, he's kind of like one of those hybrids, you know? I mean, can he play tight end? Does he have the physicality to play tight end in the NFL? He doesn't have the speed to be a legitimate wide receiver. Are you going to put a guy like that coming out of the slot for mismatches against outside linebackers and strong safeties? I think offensive coordinators are going to have to be really creative in utilizing him, and how would you plug him in your offense? So, and free agency wise, you know, you've got Jordan Cameron, who went to the Miami Dolphins. What happened with Charles Clay? I know that Buffalo
gave him an offer sheet, and there are reports out there, nothing definitive, that Miami is not going to match it. So it does look like he will be signing with the Buffalo Bills.
So, I mean, it looks like Larry Donnell and Fells are the guys moving forward this year. Unless, of course, there's some stud hidden in the draft that, you know, Jerry's going to grab at some point in time. I mean, you know, only time will tell.
And you go back to the track record for the Giants. They've taken a lot of unknown commodities, and they've turned them into productive players. And I think that's been the philosophy of the organization. And it certainly has worked in years past. Let's head back to the phone lines, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Dean is in Connecticut. Dean, what's happening?
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Doing well, Dean. How about yourself?
Hey, not bad. I just got three quick points to make. I know you got a full bank of callers, and I'm going to take it off the air. Number one, I honestly believe that we need a playmaker on defense for Spags, whether it's a ball hawk safety, a turnover machine, a sack machine. We have to force some turnovers and be able to get our offense in better field position. Second, do you think at this point in time, not addressing safety in free agency, that we need to draft ones? And finally, our special teams. Everyone's talking about the kick returner. We just got with Harris, I believe.
Correct. Dwayne Harris.
For years and years and years, we've been subpar under Tom Quinn. Do you think it's maybe time to make a change and it's not the personnel coaching? Thank you very much, guys.
Well, appreciate the phone call, Dean, and Dean threw out a number of different items there. Let's start with special teams. They brought in a number of players on special teams last year. Unfortunately, some of those guys got banged up. And Odell Beckham, let's not forget the impact that he had in terms of all facets of this team. Dwayne Harris, who they brought in, they signed him from the Dallas Cowboys. He has been a big facet of the Cowboys special teams play over the last few years in terms of his return ability. And don't overlook the fact that he's been good in coverage. He was a gunner for the Cowboys, and he led the team. He was at least number one or two in special teams tackles over the last two seasons. So I think it's a matter of bringing in the playmakers and hoping that they remain healthy. You know, Trindon Holiday, for example, they signed last year. Unfortunately, he got hurt during the course of training camp, and the hamstring injury just did not enable him to hang on the roster and be that impactful player. Dwayne Harris fits that mold of a special teams player. You just hope that these guys stay healthy.
And also keep in mind, I mean, tell me if you think I'm wrong. I mean, I'm looking at Odell Beckham Jr. going into this season with the Giants as the legitimate number one wide receiver on this offense. No disrespect to Victor Cruz, but we have to kind of see how's he going to recover, recoup, and come back from this torn tendon. Reuben Randall, we saw, you know, moments of brilliance from him this season, but unfortunately not a lot of consistency. Is this the year that we see him gain that consistency? I still think you don't. How many teams out there in the NFL have their number one wide receiver playing special teams and returning either kicks or punts? You just don't. It's too risky. It's too risky to have that type of playmaker perform that skill set for you on your football team. So I think it was a no-brainer move. And not to sit here and say, I mean, listen, anytime Odell Beckham Jr. touches the ball, it's electric. It's exciting. I'm actually going to miss that. But I'm excited to see what Dwayne Harris can do.
Well, the only player that comes to mind who is a top-notch wide receiver and also plays special teams, Antonio Brown of the Steelers. I mean, he would be the one who does pretty much everything. They don't look to necessarily rest him. And it never hurts to have options. We talked about, unfortunately, the injury bug has plagued this team at times throughout the years. And if you have multiple guys that can return punts and kickoffs, you can rotate and you can have different looks, and that's how you preserve players. Two other things that the last caller alluded to in terms of the safety safety position. They currently have two safeties on the roster, that being Cooper Taylor and Nat Burhe, and it's been a big topic of discussion on this program, as well as I get constant tweets on this subject. You figure they're going to look to add more depth at that position, Anita, given the fact that the Giants normally have more than two safeties on the roster. You have the veteran combine coming up, and there's a number of safeties there. I'm sure the Giants will evaluate those options. You have the draft. There's options still in terms of free agency very early in the game. And I pinpointed this with respect to tight end, and this relates to, Anita, what we were talking about earlier. Now, last year, everybody thought the Giants were going to make an aggressive play in the tight end position. Larry Donnell was an internal option. Nat Burhe could very well take advantage of his opportunities this season, and Cooper Taylor, I know, has dealt with the injury bug, but when he has played, we've seen his impact, at least on special teams, and his versatility because of his size, that you could bring him back up to the box.
Yeah, and you know, the big question mark was, and again, we're monitoring Twitter. I know we get a lot of questions about Collins, the Giants possibly drafting him at 9. I don't know if, in talking to a number of scouts, I don't know if his value as, let's say, best player on the board equates to a number 9 pick in regard to a need. So, you know, if the Giants go into this draft with, let's say, you know, that one sore thumb at the safety spot, you know, do you want to kind of cut off your nose to spite your face to draft a player who might be a better player on the board, on the big board, than drafting a not-so-great player
just because
at the 9
fits a need.
Just because it's a need? And again, I know we talk about it all the time. That's just not the philosophy.
Correct.
It's not how Jerry Reese orchestrates his draft, and I'm all for that. But yeah, you've got some big concerns here, especially the way that Spags likes to use safeties in his system. You got to wonder, okay, well, you know, where are the answers? And maybe you're right. Maybe it's something that will develop in time. Maybe it's something that, you know, it'll be a battle at camp, and a young man will surprise us. You know?
Absolutely. I think that the Giants right now would look to pick the best player, the biggest impactful player. And if you consider the depth at safety in terms of the draft, Anita, similar to the tight end position, there's not a great deal of depth in terms of safeties that at least are out there in the latest group of prospects. On the topic of the draft, Sonny Boy, 23-23, being that we signed the defensive tackle, referring to Kenrick Ellis, do you see us going away from that position in the first round of the draft? Danny Shelton is a defensive tackle out of Washington who's received a lot of chatter and a lot of attention, who would play that position. I think, Anita, it goes back to what you just said. Best player available. If the best player available is at defensive tackle, Giants are not going to necessarily shy away from that position.
And I guess the assumption, again, all the mock drafts, I know we're at like mock 3.0 right now, but the mock drafts right now, they have, was it Williams, right, going to Tennessee with a number 2, right?
Yeah.
And so out of all the tackles, and again, I'm basing on all the information I'm reading from the scouts and Mel Kiper and all those guys, that he's legitimately the only top 10 tackle, defensive tackle, on their board. So it poses that question again. If you're drafting 9 and best players available aren't necessarily top 10, what do you do? But again, listen, everybody's scouting department is different. You know what I mean? I'll tell you this, though. When I was out at the Combine, and I walked around, I spoke to a lot of scouts. I spoke to a lot of offensive coordinators. And when I told them, oh, you know, I work with the Giants. I'm part of the Giants broadcast team. Oh, man, we really wanted Odell Beckham Jr. Offensive coordinators were like, man, I told my scouting department, you move up and grab him. You know what I mean? I mean, so, you know, there are guys that obviously a lot of the scout team, all the scout teams agree on. Obviously, Odell Beckham Jr. was one of them.
Well, it's funny. But I think I was reading on that subject, Anita, SI, Sports Illustrated, went back and redid the draft from last year.
Okay.
And if they were to redo it, Odell Beckham. I don't remember. I read it. It was about at least
definitely
a month and a half ago.
Definitely top 5.
He was definitely up there a little bit earlier than obviously the Giants selected. And
right.
You can't blame other teams for if they had a redo opportunity.
I'd love to see that article.
Grabbed him.
You said it's on SI.
It is on. If you Google it, I'm sure you could find it. Sports Illustrated redid the draft. We could certainly, if we bring it up, we could maybe refer to it throughout the course of the program. In the meantime, let's head back to the phone lines at 201-939-4513. So glad you could join us for Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. She's Anita Marks. I'm Lance Meadow. Herb is in Philly. Herb, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Herb. What do you got?
Yeah, just wondering, what do we need the most? Because the last 4 years, it seems like we lacked physicality. And if you have a Kevin White or Amari Cooper at nine sitting in your face, is it more important to take one of those two receivers or just go with the offensive line or go with a defensive lineman that you know is a can't miss?
Well, Herb, I'll throw the question back at you, and it refers to what Anita was posing a few moments ago. If you were in a position at number nine and it came down to, do you go after the biggest need, but maybe that talent doesn't meet the need, or do you take perhaps the best available player, regardless of position? I mean, what would you do in that situation? I think, you know, need is important to always weigh when you're drafting, but at the same time, you want a player with your first-round pick, Herb, that's going to come in day one and is going to be a legitimate starter and make an impact, like an Odell Beckham. Now, Odell dealt with some injuries, but the minute he got on the field, it was no looking back. So, you know, what would you do? I mean, I think you want the most impactful player. Sometimes that impactful player may be at a position that you already have depth at.
Now, I've noticed they've made some moves with the offensive line and some defensive lines, like Ellis they picked up days ago. I'd like us to go offensive line because when Eli has time and he has, like against San Francisco, when he beat Atlanta, they couldn't touch him. And I'd like to see an offensive lineman, or maybe even two, out of this draft, and maybe we can get some speed in the back end.
Well, keep in mind, they did address the offensive line in free agency, too. They brought in Marshall Newhouse, who was with the Packers and the Bengals, and you hope that Jeff Schwartz is back to full health. He will be certainly an option within the starting rotation, and Weston Richburg now has a legitimate chance of being the starting center with J.D. Walton being released. So I think that they addressed that position to a certain degree in free agency, but at the same time, I could very well see them drafting an offensive lineman as well.
How is Burt Jones? I seen you guys picked him up. How is he so far?
Well, you're referring to the player from the Canadian Football League who a lot of people are ranting and raving about because of his physicality and his smarts, what he does in the classroom. I had his offensive line coach from the CFL on an earlier Big Blue Kickoff Live program, and he was talking about how you don't have to question his hard work and his physicality. It's just a matter of him transitioning, keep in mind, Herb, from the CFL to the NFL because the way that offensive linemen line up, a little bit different in terms of the spacing. So there will be an adjustment period, but you're right. He's certainly going to be very much in the mix as well.
Thanks, guys. Now, that small school guy, I heard he's a good guy too. Marpet from that small school.
I didn't hear the name you were referring to. Who was that again?
I think he's from a small school in upstate New York, like a Division III school.
In terms of, you're talking about a draft prospect? Is that what you're referring to?
Right.
All right, we'll try to bring up the list of offensive linemen. No name is necessarily ringing my bell, but appreciate the phone call, Herb.
All right, thanks, guys.
You got it.
Was it you and I who were hosting the day that the gentleman called and was asking about Jones being a long snapper, or was I on with Schmelk?
You may have been on with Schmelk. I don't recall that coming up.
I was on with Schmelk. Yeah. So immediately as I got off the show, Paul Dottino obviously calls me and, you know, he says, well, I've been watching a lot of game film on this guy. He's not a long snapper. I'm like, okay, Paul. So I guess the caller had called in and said, hey, do you think that he'll challenge Zach Diossi? Because I guess in the Canadian Football League, your centers, your center has to long snap. So Paul was like, no.
I think they're pretty comfortable with Zach Diossi at this point, considering he's worked with just about everybody that they've brought in on special teams.
That just reminded me. All right, so I pulled up the article you were talking about.
Oh, you did find it. Okay.
Yeah, pretty interesting here. So if the league had to redo the draft from 2014, how would they go? I'm not going to go through all the picks, but some interesting ones that I saw here. The Houston Texans would go Derek Carr over Jadeveon Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney, do you hear that? He got bit by a teammate's dog the other day.
I did not hear that. Something new.
I mean, a poor guy, the poor Texans. I mean, could the situation get any worse for them? I don't know. So Derek Carr, obviously, because
Derek Carr, quarterback.
Now they have Hoyer.
Correct.
Yes.
Ryan Hoyer. Yeah, former Brown.
Ryan Fitzpatrick comes here to New York and joins the Jets, and Brian Hoyer leaves
Cleveland.
Game of
musical chairs.
Yes, exactly. And the one that you're talking about, the St. Louis Rams, with the number two pick instead of Greg Robinson, wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr.
We knew he was going to move
number
up.
Number two overall. This is interesting. The Buffalo Bills, they took Sammy Watkins. If they had to redo it, SI says that they would have taken wide receiver Mike Evans. Interesting, right? Mike Evans finished the season really strong last year.
It was a great receiver class last year.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, like, are you – I mean, not like not that Mike Evans had that much better of a quarterback than Sammy Watkins did, but I think you need to give Sammy Watkins a hot second before you're going to switch him out for Mike Evans.
Well, as I mentioned, the separation between the wide receivers, Odell Beckham certainly stood out, but Evans, Kelvin Benjamin, as well as Sammy Watkins, everybody had a very productive season.
And keep in mind, Mike Evans played opposite Vincent Jackson, so defenses were able to stay a little bit more honest than what Sammy Watkins was working with in the wide receiving core in Buffalo. Last but not least, the Tampa Bay Bucks at 7 would have taken Zach Martin, offensive lineman. Who's now, of course, for the Dallas Cowboys. So, anyway, that's it. They literally went through the entire first round.
So, yeah. it's pretty interesting.
Pretty interesting.
Absolutely. Let's head back to the phone lines. Brian is in Philly. Brian, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing well, Brian. How about yourself? What do you have for us?
Good, great. I just got two things, and one is football related, but I have to get this off my chest. I should have called last week when it happened. I'm a field supervisor for a security company, and, you know, we ride around and check up on our guards. And this particular day, our job is to whoever's on that shift, if a guard goes home or he's sent home for whatever reason, the field supervisor has to go to that site and cover the shift. Okay, so a guard goes home for whatever reason, so I get the call. I gotta stop my route and go back to this store. So I get to the store. Round about, I was there for about 5 hours, maybe from like 2 to 10. So around about 8:30, you know, I'm looking around doing my job or whatever. Guess who walks in the store? Justin Pugh.
There you go, small world.
Wow, and the chances of that was rare. Like, this guy was like so cool. I see why the Giants drafted him. He took a picture with me and everything. I mean, it was unpredictable for me, because when I seen them, you know how certain people, they want to be low-key. They don't want, you know, people all in their face all the time. I mean, they're cool people, but sometimes they don't like all that sometimes. You know what I mean? So when he came in and I looked at him, I seen him, I was like, no way, because this is silly. And I forgot he went to Castle Rock. So, you know, off-season, he's probably with his family or whatever. And as I'm figuring it out, like, oh, my God, this is him, or this is somebody that looked like him. His boy was behind him. He was like, nah, it's not him, like joking. And I was like, come here, I'm a Giants fan. I know when I see Justin Pugh, you know what I mean? And then once I showed him my phone, I got, like, training camp and Victor Cruz in the background and all that. Right there, he knew I was a Giants fan. And that, from that moment on, it was just crazy. Like, that was, he's a good guy. He's a great guy.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to say that. I see why we drafted him. But
not a problem. So what do you have in terms of a little X's and O's for us?
X's and O's?
Yeah.
You know, like y'all was saying, Anita was saying, Odell Beckham, we wasn't even talking about this dude last year. We may have heard his name, but we wasn't talking about him. We was talking about getting Ebron and our tight end situation. And I just wanted to say, sometimes it's one of those, we hear these big names, but it's somebody, and it's always somebody we're not talking about right now, we end up getting. And it's like, wow, this guy was really good. Look with Odell Beckham now, if they can redo the draft, look at everybody saying, oh, I would have took him. I would have took him. So there's always a hidden gem somewhere. That's why I'm not worried, because there's always a player that our scouting people know about that we don't know about. You know what I mean? One of them small little colleges. Maybe somebody's not talking about it. You know, maybe when the season comes, safety is not, it won't be a big issue like we think it is. You know?
I hear you, Brian, and appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing
Definitely.
In. You look at the track record, the Giants certainly have brought in undrafted guys and some late rounders even last season who've had an impact.
Are you surprised how this safety situation has panned out?
Well, I mean, I think that they could still potentially bring back one of their own. Stevie Brown and Quinton Demps are out there.
I know.
So that's,
I guess,
certainly a possibility.
I'm sorry, I should have been more specific with my question. Like McCourty, are you surprised McCourty went back? When you had heard that the Patriots did not tag McCourty, were you like, oh, okay, well, yeah, maybe the Giants have a chance to get him? Or were you like, Patriots have something under, up their sleeve.
You figured New England was going to aggressively try to retain him, regardless of whether or not they gave him the franchise tag. And other teams went after
him. The amount of money that they offered him?
Absolutely. Well, yeah. They value clearly the safety position, maybe more so than the corner position. They had to make a decision between Revis and McCourty, and Revis wound up going back to the Jets, and once again, that was also a big financial decision as well. Sometimes the market evolves. It changes year to year. And Ndamukong Suh, think about all the money that he got. Miami was willing to pay him. The Lions were not willing to give him the franchise tag. I think it comes down to an eat of the salary cap. Now, not every team goes into every offseason having the same amount of financial flexibility, and that's why New England had to make tough decisions. The Giants have had to make tough decisions in seasons past. Miami, we would talk about Charles Clay. If you bring in Ndamukong Suh, you want to try to give Ryan Tannehill an extension. You can't keep everybody.
Who, by the way, one of our show listeners said that he's on his way to Buffalo.
Charles Clay.
Yes.
Yeah, which we were talking about earlier in terms of the offer sheet that he got. And obviously there was speculation earlier today that Miami
whether or not
Miami
is going to match
it
or not. They did not.
Yep.
Well, at least that's what one of our listeners is saying.
Well, we could use them as a source, apparently.
You guys
now,
are right.
All right, let's head back to the phone lines. 201-939-4513. Mike is in Oakland. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Yeah, so a couple quick things. One is the previous caller was talking about Ali Marpet out of Hobart and William Smith, offensive lineman.
Okay.
I'm real interested in the guy, a bunch of things, the athleticism he showed. All reports I read on the Senior Bowl said he did really well, even though he's stepping up from Division III. Attitude's great. Guy wants to be a Giant. So, you know, offensive linemen tend to stick with the team a long time. Attitude, ability to improve over the long term. And we've had guys, look at David Deal, you know. I mean, these guys, attitude matters. And so I like the guy a lot. He may even be a second-round pick that the Giants should think about. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. But the other thing I really wanted to hear about is that, to me, there's this huge period of player availability that happens, you know, after training camp when all of a sudden – you know, teams start making wholesale changes when they got a drop roster. And all the, and for us, you know, yeah, we got two young safeties. I was really disappointed we didn't keep Antrell Roll. I thought the price was right to keep him. And the thing we're missing in the safety position is experience. And maybe Trell lost a step. You know, maybe I didn't have a lot of confidence with how our defense was coached last year, to be honest. But I still thought we don't have a replacement for him. He's the best guy at the position. So I won't kill that, but I was real disappointed we didn't keep Antrell. But given that what we're really missing is experience, you know, when the waivers wire comes out at that time, it seems like, you know, a lot of experienced players all of a sudden start getting bumped. And people don't talk about that we've got a whole other period of time to pick up some experience at that position at that time in the year.
Yeah, great, great point. Probably best phone call of the day here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, because you bring up a point that that neither of us even alluded to. And you're right. I mean, when training camp is going on, especially the first wave of cuts happen, the second wave of cuts happen. And one thing I do with Paul Dottino is we go online and we'll look at the guys that are still on the roster on some teams. And because I'm sure you guys are aware of this, but Paul's just a football nut, and he'll stay up until like wee hours of the morning.
That
watching,
may be an understatement,
watch,
by the way.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Watching film. And so I'll go through the list with Paul, and I'll say, all right, Paul, you know, here's their bubble guys. Who do you like? If this guy gets cut, you think the Giants maybe pick him up and bring him on board? And so you're absolutely right.
That's very well something.
There is out of all the 31 other teams out there, there is going to be a few teams that are so have such depth at that safety position that they're going to, because of the numbers game, they're going to have to cut a safety that could be a starting safety on somebody else's roster. And it's so hard to do. Like if you watch Hard Knocks, it's like one of my favorite points of Hard Knocks is when the coaches have to get together and they have to make those final cuts, and you've got the running back coach who's fighting for his one guy. No, let's keep him on. He really did great on specials during camp, and they're fighting for their guys because it's so hard to let them go. There's going to be one of those. There's going to be a few of those guys that are going to be let go. You're absolutely right.
Right. The one reality of that though is, you know, your chances of finding, you know, kind of that bona fide Pro Bowl level player, that's not going to happen. I mean, I think we can find somebody who is good. I think we can solidify it and hopefully get a veteran voice back there. But, you know, I guess I said I wasn't going to beat the drum, but I'm here I am again. I think Antrell's right. There's no replacement for him this year. And you know, looking at Eli Manning, his age, looking at the team and what we have right now, we keep saying we're retooling, not rebuilding. So to me, you know, every year right now is a year out of Eli Manning's, you know, future with the team. And I don't see us, you know, just not having that great player that solidifies the defense on the back end. And even though I'm optimistic that when the waiver wire opens that, you know, we're going to end up with a solid safety roster, I think we will. You know, maybe we'll bring Stevie Brown back. Maybe he has a better year. He looked kind of lost back there last year. I don't know what was going on there, but I don't have tons of confidence with him being that general in the back end. But so I think we're going to end up with a decent roster. But when we lost Antrell, I think he's right. There was no Pro Bowl replacement safety that we end up with.
Well, Mike, he was a unique player, and appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. So you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody that would argue to say that Antrell didn't have an impact for this franchise and this organization, but it gets back to the tough decisions that every team has to make each and every offseason. And, you know, he was throwing out the idea that maybe the Giants pick somebody up off the waiver wire or so forth, or maybe somebody who nobody's expecting, like a Nat Burhey or Cooper Taylor. Remember, when Stevie Brown joined the team, to keep in mind, he was a player that was a journeyman. He jumped from team to team. He was with the Colts, with the Raiders, never really had a starting spot on a team. All of a sudden, he thrives. He's Mr. Opportunistic. He's a ball hawk type of guy. Sometimes the player that you least expect steps up. So that could very well happen here with the Giants. And as I mentioned, two players on the roster, they're going to add more safeties.
Also,
you need competition.
You know, not a knock on Stevie Brown, one of my favorite players here at the Giants, and my fingers are crossed that he returns. But one thing I said, you know, you've got to look at a player and you got to look at the system that they're in, you know. And so what I'm going to find interesting, because I don't know Spags. I met him the other day for the first time. I wasn't here when Spags was the defensive coordinator. It's my first kind of – I knew Perry. I knew Perry's system. I knew the way that he liked to play his safeties. This is going to be learning for me in regard to, like, seeing how Spags kind of – how his defense operates. And a lot of times, you can take an average player and make him a phenomenal player because he fits your system to a T. And the way that that defensive coordinator puts him in position to make plays makes him a phenomenal football. And just 4 years in covering the Baltimore Ravens, I'll give you two names. Adalis Thomas. Adalis Thomas was a stud in Rex Ryan's defense. Went to New England. What happened to him? Fell off. Kelly Gregg was a stud in Rex Ryan's system in Baltimore. I think it's all encompassing. It's a good player, and then it's a defensive coordinator who knows how to utilize his players, put them in position to make football plays, and who knows? Who knows what type of safety play can develop here in that? And I don't know, because, again, it's going to be an exciting learning curve for me in regard to Spags and how Spags' defense operates.
But the system, as you hit on, it plays an important role in terms of how a player thrives. So Spags could very well use safeties much differently than how Perry Fuel does, and he could use them much differently than he did in his first stint based on the personnel that's currently on the team. Let's head back to the lines. Derek's in Atlanta. Derek, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Doing well, Derek. What do you got for us?
So Anita, I remember Spags. I've been a Giants fan for quite a long time, and I do remember him liking to stop the run on first and second down. So bringing in another big body to stop that run. I think he had Fred Robbins and Barry Cofield in the middle when he was here. He had some young safeties, Jabril Wilson and Michael Johnson. So I guess, you know, hopefully that'll set up this way he does it. But what he did have is pass rushers and to get the ball out. So we got JPP, and what I was wondering is if some of the premier guys are gone, I guess the pass rushers that noted to be in the top 10, I'm wanting Vic Beasley. But if he's gone, like at he's projected number 8 to the Falcons, and Gregory and Fowler's gone, can you see the Giants taking a Bud Dupree?
I think it really depends on if they see him as a valuable commodity. I mean, that's what it comes down to. you could throw out, Derek, 17 million different players to me, and I could tell you I could see the Giants taking them. I mean, that's the bottom line. It could be that somebody has very high upside on their draft board.
Obviously, they could take anybody, but what I'm trying to say is, based on a Giants profile, based on them liking to pick defensive ends, based on the we don't know if DeMontre Moore is actually going to grow up, and, you know, hopefully he will, but needing a defensive end, do you feel that that pick would be a stretch?
Well, Dupree also has experience at linebacker, too. Let's not forget about that. And the reason I throw that out there, everybody always calls in and says, would they take a linebacker in the first round? And I'm only going based on track record. The last time a linebacker was taken by the Giants in the first round was our colleague Carl Banks in 1984. So it has been quite some time since the Giants have gone in that direction. Depends on how they see him within Spag's system. Do they feel he's a guy that's going to put his hand in the dirt?
If he's going to play the 4-3, which we're going to play, he'll be a defensive end. He's 270 pounds. He's played defensive end.
Correct.
And I mean, I just project him as a pure defensive end.
And I understand that, but you project him as that. You know, what's going on in the facility and conversations that they envision. Remember, everybody's got a different way they could utilize a player. We've seen players who are defensive ends in one system and then move to linebacker because they sign with a team that all of a sudden goes to a 3-4. Players who have been in the Niners system. I've seen Cowboys who have gone to new systems like DeMarcus Ware, and he's gone back and forth between DE and LB. So, you know, I think it really depends on how they envision that player within their system. That's really what it comes down to.
Okay, I just have an opinion on a free agent. What do you guys think about George Selvey?
Well, Selvey was with the Dallas Cowboys the last two seasons, and he actually had a career year in 2013 where he was, I believe, first or second in terms of sacks on their squad. He filled in because Anthony Spencer was banged up. He has thrived in Rod Marinelli's system, and he's a free agent right now. He is certainly one of many defensive ends and pass rushers that are out there, and the Giants, like any other team, I'm sure
are
looking.
Are you allowed to give your opinion on the player, or are you just?
Well, I just gave you my opinion. I think within the Dallas
Cowboys
system.
You gave me facts of what happened last year and facts about the player. But you didn't give me an opinion of the player.
Well, George Selvey, as I mentioned, and appreciate the phone call, Derek, he had a very productive 2 years with the Cowboys, the way that they utilized him within their system. And the numbers show that. His sacks, I think he had at least 10 combined sacks, I think, over the last 2 years. He had maybe seven in 2013, from what I recall. He is a productive pass rusher that is currently a free agent, like a number of other players. But if you were to ask me how he did, I think the numbers show that he was very productive in how the Cowboys utilized him. Let's head back to the phone lines. Aaron is in New York. Aaron, what's happening?
Hey, how y'all doing, guys? Anita, I wanted to apologize for John. It seemed like every player that you like, they either get traded or go on somewhere. But
What is it? I'm glad somebody else realizes that. What's up with that?
I don't know.
Anita likes him. Let's get rid of him. Anita likes him. Let's get rid of him.
I don't know. But what I wanted to call is about when I first initially heard that we had got Spags back, I think Spags' defense was good, but complicated, but I think it was great. And I said it. He have a safety like intro role. I thought that was going to be the best thing for the whole defense. And then you know he's going now, but I'm optimistic. I really think that the safeties that we got, we give them a chance. I think that they'll be all right. I don't know how to say the guy's name. Nate Behey, whatever. How you
Matt
say
Burray.
His name.
Burray.
Yeah. I think giving him a chance, he probably will be good. I don't know if he'll be intro role good, but I think he will be solid. You get me? You got to give him a chance. But I'm in the draft. I know we won't do this, and I wouldn't mind, but do you think we would take another receiver? I think, you know, because given that Victor Cruz, and I was listening yesterday on your show yesterday with Anita, and y'all was talking about, like, the way his tear is or whatever he had in his injury. Do you think the Giants will bank on him, you know, to be himself and just would pick up another receiver? Or they just would probably just go with their board or the best thing available?
You know, I think it's a great question. It's something that we talk about often here on the show because at nine, Lance, I'm going to assume. We know what happens when one assumes. I'm going to try not to do that. But one has to assume that both Amari Cooper, one or the other, Amari Cooper and or Kevin White are going to be available at 9. And if the Giants value them as stud wide receivers, and you look at what one wide receiver did with this Giants offense, was able to really do for the season. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. was the silver lining. I mean, he's just so exciting and so fun and made this offense so really exciting to watch.
Yeah.
If either of those two even come close to his talent, and if we don't know if the Giants value their talent compatible to Odell Beckham Jr.'s, you got to think that's going to be a tough decision at 9, Lance,
mm-hmm.
If they're still on the board. And again, it's beyond Victor Cruz. We're all of us here at the Giants organization are praying, hoping, fingers crossed he comes back and, you know, he's even better than before. Who knows if that can happen? And again, I am a big Reuben Randle fan, but I need more from him.
Exactly.
From him. And I don't know if that's going to happen this season. I feel it needs to. So yeah,
exactly.
I think even though it's not a big sore thumb, let's say like the safety position, I think the wide receiver position is something that very well needs to be improved.
I see like this thing falling. If, being that we like at 9, I see it where we would be faced with a receiver, maybe a safety, a lineman, or like right at the cream of the crop. And then it's like, what we do then? You know, do we take trades from somebody? And if we're sitting in there and we got all of these pieces sitting right there, but we unsure what Reuben's going to bring because he turned it up later in the season after whatever he got out of his head, and then we're not unsure about Victor Cruz. I love Victor. I hope he can come back and be – I don't want him to be 75. I don't want to be 8. I want him to come back and be himself. But if he could just be providing, we know, but we don't know that. So it's like, what we doing? Do we pass up this young – because Kevin White or Amari, I mean, one of them two got to be great. I mean, probably not an Odell Beckham great, but they might be. And I'm looking at the Giants like we never had receivers like that. I mean, to have two receivers or three, if given Victor Cruz come back, I don't know.
Aaron, it seems like you may be busy. You may have another phone call. So
we'll
let you go on that note, Aaron. Appreciate
you guys for taking my call.
You got
it. I watch your show every day.
Not a problem. Thanks so much. There are a number of other wide receivers, too, on the roster who are the complimentary guys, and some of them also got hurt. Marcus Harris, for example, who a lot of people tend to forget, got hurt in training camp. He certainly could be in the mix to play a bigger role this season.
I want to piggyback off that call and a point that he made. And that is, you know, in regard to will the Giants trade? Listen, when you look at this past season, one of the biggest things that stand out across the board is how wide receivers just took over the league. Rookie wide receivers came in and they balled. They balled out. So, and this is a copycat league. So it will be interesting and it will be intriguing. Teams that look at the success that Tampa had with Mike Evans, that the Giants had with Odell Beckham Jr., that the Miami Dolphins had with Jarvis Landry. You know, Jordan Matthews with the Philadelphia Eagles, the Cookie Monster, Brandon Cooks with the Saints. I love that kid. Couldn't believe he got injured. Got injured, just totally ruined my fantasy football team. But where I'm going with this is it will be interesting because we saw such great success with the wide receivers last year in the NFL. Do teams this year now covet and want the White and want the Cooper and might be willing to trade up to get them because they saw the success and what the impact of these rookie wide receivers coming out of the NFL now with their skill sets and the NFL-style offenses that they're playing at their universities, especially Cooper at Alabama. You know, could 2014, Lance, play a role in the way that the 2015 draft pans out?
Well, on the flip side, they could say there's a lot of depth too at that position once again this year, and maybe I don't have to give up all the assets that I have in terms of the draft because somebody could fall to me later in the first round or the second round. I think there's really two schools of thought from that perspective. You're right. If you move up, you get a top five pick, you could get a wide receiver that, wow, can single-handedly turn around your offense. At the same time, Kelvin Benjamin was a late first round pick last season and had just as big of an impact with Carolina's offense as perhaps Sammy Watkins and Mike Evans with their respective offenses. A few minutes left. I want to try to get to a few more phone calls here. And we check in with a guy I haven't heard from in quite some time. Victor is in Texas. Victor, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Lance? How you doing, Miss Anita?
How are you?
I'm good. Hey, a couple of callers ago, he hit it on the head, a couple of things I want to talk about. But one thing a lot of the Giants fans, I think, aren't, you know, mentioning is basically, you know, our owner put it on our management, you know, this is a make-or-break year for us. I mean, we're not going 6-10 anymore. I mean, I believe he said this is the year we need to put up a shut-up, you know. And it's kind of telling to me that we're doing the things we are, you know, as far as getting rid of our leadership. In a year that's make-or-break, I wouldn't see an intro role leave our midst, you know, because the best ability is availability. And, you know, this guy's been available to play, and he's a leader on our defense. And to me, you know, Stevie Brown, you know, he's not been available. I mean, he was coming off a, you know, very bad injury, and, you know, and he looked lost in our defense, you know. So for Antro Roll to be gone, you know, was kind of puzzling to me in that make-or-break season. And also, you know, getting Spags back. Spags, to me, you know, he has to have on our defense that NASCAR package. And I believe he's getting his pieces back as far as securing that defensive tackle middle. He's getting those big bodies in the middle. But what he's missing right now is those edge rushers. He has JPP. We have, you know, we have DeMontre Moore, but we need that edge rusher. And I'm thinking we're going to look at that in the draft. But, you know, we're missing that edge piece on there. And as far as, you know, Ali Marpley goes, that's the guy, you know, a couple of callers ago. I really like this kid. I mean, he's from a Division III school, Lance. You know, we don't know much about him. But I like the fact, you know, he's from the East Coast, and he wants to be a Giant. I mean, I've seen this kid's footage. He's very quick on his feet. He's like a dancing bear out there. You know, we don't know much about him, but, you know, he's very good with his hands. I watched some footage on him. I hope this kid doesn't go to the Patriots. You know, Bill Belichick was at his pro day and stuff. I really don't want him to go there. Looking at the Giants and the free agency, I know one thing that, you know, we haven't been able to get a free safety. Looking at the draft, I know everybody's thinking we're going to get an old lineman. We whiffed on Ron Parker, you know, safety and stuff like that. I'm looking at Landon Collins. You know, the last caller was saying wide receiver. You guys are thinking wide receiver maybe. You know, if at number nine, this is my thing, we're either going to get the second-best lineman, the second-best wide receiver, you know, the second-best defensive end or the first-best defensive end. Jerry Reese is going to get one of those right there. I mean, I just don't know what we're going to do. You know, it's either that or, you know, you never know with Jerry Reese. I mean,
well, nobody knows other than management, Victor. You're not wrong to make a statement like that. We have no idea either.
You just never know with this Giants organization. But, I mean, one thing, I just don't want to waste Eli's years while he has them right now. I mean, as far as Randall, Anita, I totally agree with you. I mean, he should be embarrassed. He should be embarrassed with his play because a rookie came in and just demolished the league. You know, he has to give me more in his play. I mean, a rookie come in and just lights it up. I need to see more with him. And as far as Victor Cruz goes, you know, you can't bet on him coming in being 100%. So I wouldn't fault Jerry Reese as far as if he picks up, you know, one of those wide receivers, if it's Amari or if it's White. So
thank you.
All right, Victor.
Thank
good
you so
good
much
hearing from you. You got it.
I just want to make a comment. This is like the third caller who's called in talking about wasting Eli's, what, last few years?
Prime years, or
what have you. I don't, you know, how many teams out there, Eli's won two Super Bowls with this organization. Now, first and foremost, how many teams out there besides the Patriots and Tom Brady are in it each and every year to win it? How many? Not many.
Well, every team's looking to win every year, but there's a lot of teams in comparison, Anita, that haven't even made the playoffs in over two decades or so.
Exactly.
So that you have to at least put things in perspective.
So and I look at Eli playing another 5 years. don't you?
He stays healthy, which he's shown. Been one of the most durable quarterbacks in the NFL.
Right.
In NFL history.
I see Eli playing at least a minimum another 5 years. Again, just my opinion. I don't know anything. Haven't talked to him about it. And I feel pretty solid. I feel pretty good that within those 5 years, if Eli, of course, continues to be a giant, I think he'll win another Super Bowl.
Well, I think we also need to keep in mind that
I think he'll win another Super Bowl.
The offense showed a lot of upside in the last few weeks of the season.
That would be three in his tenure.
That's more than some franchises have ever won.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not thinking like, oh, we've got to win it before Eli. I'm thinking another 5 years, and I feel pretty confident this organization's going to win another one in the next 5 years.
Well, the offense, as I was touching on, finished on a very strong note at the end of last season. I mean, they were putting up tons of points and tons of numbers. So if they can get back to that, piggyback off of that, bring in some new weapons, certainly there's a number of things to build off of. And Spags is going to bring a new defensive philosophy. So it's a completely new slate on defense. And with new defenses and with new players comes a variety of different thoughts, I understand, which can go all across the board. But you know, this is somebody that's familiar with this organization and had success the first time around when he was with this organization. Let's close out the program with another phone call. Izzy is in the Bronx. Izzy, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Doing well, Izzy. How about yourself?
I'm good. A lot of the previous callers, they didn't take all my mojo, so I only got a couple of just points that I just thought up while I was waiting. The only thing I could say is I know everybody's concerned about the safety position, and, you know, I hear a lot of callers and, you know, from my fellow Giants, workmen, and everything like that. Everybody is concerned about it, but I look at it like we got a new defensive, well, not a new, but coming back, we got Spagnuolo, who led us to a championship. And if you think about comparing 2007 to this upcoming season, if you really compare it, I know we don't have a Michael Strahan and we don't have a, you know, O.C. Umeh, or we could say better than O.C. Umeh or JPP, but we have Dominique Roger-Cromartie. You got Prince Mukamara. You can't – I would say those two is better than Corey Webster and Sam Madison, respectively, in my opinion. So I just say, you know, as far as if we shore up, get a veteran safety and, you know, shore up our middle linebacker depth and especially our linebacker depth, I think we'll be pretty good as far as defensively, because last year it was pretty much a mashup unit as far as us being ranked in the lower epilogue of the defense in the league. But on the offensive side – I think that Jerry Reese needs to just be a little bit more conscious of getting more depth, because going into the training camp last season, I think everybody was pretty, you know, comfortable with the offensive line as far as on paper. But as the Schwartz injuries start happening and things start, you know, our injuries started mounting up, I think it was evidence that it hurt us that we didn't have the depth, that we had to bring guys in. We had to bring, you know, Richburg as far as playing guard and out of his position and things like that, which hurt us in the running game. So I just think Jerry Reese should, you know, think we'll get more for a future sight as far as securing more quality players as far as if our players start going down again. So I just wanted to get you guys' opinion about that and, you know, cut it off about that.
Well, Izzy, appreciate the phone call. And the way you build depth is you do it through the draft like they did last season when they had a very productive draft, and you bring in free agents. And especially you bring in free agents after the big names and the big wave of names is off the board. A lot of those quality guys who are still on the market who could come in, and you're not expecting them to be necessarily a need and every down starter, but you're expecting them to contribute on special teams and fill in if there is an injury. And that's how you build depth. You can do it two ways, free agency now as well as in the upcoming draft.
Yeah, but, you know, listen, look at for so many years, right, the New England Patriots was the franchise that everybody kind of wanted to emulate in regards to how they were able to kind of be in it each and every year. And now I think that viewpoint is kind of changing in looking at how the Seattle Seahawks are doing it. I mean, granted, listen, they've been playing with a rookie quarterback who they're paying in peanuts compared to everybody else around the league. That definitely helps in a big way. But look at the guys that they've drafted who've now kind of worked their way up to the starting position and really have, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So it's evident. You need a really good scouting department. You need to draft well. And you need to be wise with your money in free agency in order to be successful in the NFL.
And with that being said, that'll wrap up today's program. Appreciate all of the callers and the tweeters. Big Blue Kickoff live with you each and every weekday here at noon Eastern. Paul and I will be back on tomorrow. You continue to send in your tweets, and we'll be taking your phone calls as well on all the latest Giants news. For Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll speak to you tomorrow.
Well, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
What a kick.